You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class.
Let's open in prayer. Great God of heaven and earth, we come again this day knowing that apart from your grace, we would be, frankly, hellbound. And yet, Lord, you have shown us grace in Christ. Christ suffered for us and for our salvation and came into this world to live the life we could not live, to pay the price we could not pay. And so, Father, we confess again our faith in Christ. We ask that we be built up in your truth. And, Lord, you've given us not only that a sweet gospel message, but you've given us the whole counsel of your word to teach us how to think as you would have us to think about all the different things around us in this world. And so we pray that we would have a Christian mind, a Christian worldview. Bless our study to that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have been in this mini-series on Be Awake, Not Woke. And again, just as my reminder, we're not endeavoring to talk politics here. We're talking more underlying worldview and thinking Christianly about some of the topics that have been in discussion a lot in our world. So often our Sunday schools, can be more theoretical in the sense of, we're talking doctrines and things like that. But this is a chance for us to actually think of some of the things that the world around us has been talking about and how can we think about them from some of the teachings of Scripture. And I keep trying to, hang our hats on different Bible verses that are going to help us think about these things. So just quick recap. The first week we had that call from Ephesians 4 about be awake, right? Not asleep. And then we talked a little bit about that critical theory that the sort of undergirds a lot of the woke way of thinking about things, basically looking institutionally that those in authority are, for the most part, inherently oppressors, and those who are in under authority are oppressed. Again, this is the woke thinking, not what I'm saying. This is the woke sort of approach to seeing a lot of the issues in our society. And then we've been trying now to be assessing the woke thinking. And some of the concerns that the woke thinking are bringing out, we can share in some of those concerns. Some of the concerns we can't. And even on the one, some of the concerns that we might share with them, some of the solutions that they propose, we can't share with them. And so we want to think biblically, what should we be concerned about? What should we not be concerned about? And what are some biblical ways to approach solutions? And so the section we've been on has been a multi-part section on the topic of discrimination. And this is a great example. There are things that the woke thinking say we should be not discriminating on. And some of those things we can agree with. Like we talked about racism. We shouldn't discriminate at people based on their race. But we also have said there are certain things we have to discriminate on, even if the world says we shouldn't discriminate on them. And one of the topics the topics for today essentially are matters with regard to sex, gender, sexual orientation, that sort of thing. And this is one area where the world tells us these are things we should not be discriminating on. And the Bible says that these are things we need to be discriminating on. And yet, in what way and what does that look like? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Before I do, last week we talked about some of the socioeconomic type stuff and rich and poor, those sorts of things. We had a chance to hang our hat on three Bible verses there. Remember, don't steal. Three of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet, and how that spoke to both sides, rich and poor. And any follow-up questions from material that we had last week on the rich and poor? I know we kind of finished rather quickly there at the end. Anytime, if you have questions about clarifications, anything I said, feel free to ask me afterward, too. Let's talk then about discrimination with regard to, like I said, sex, sex slash gender, and then sexual orientation. That's going to be our topic today. And when I say sexual orientation, I'm particularly referring to issues of sex, of expressing sex, and so we'll talk about these things here today. This is the adult Sunday school class, just to remind you all. So, first one to hang our hats on here is another 10 of the 10 commandments. The seventh commandment, what does that say? Anyone? Thou shalt not commit adultery. So we'll be talking and thinking about the seventh commandment sort of behind all of this. Rightfully so, when you think of the seventh commandment, you realize it has more to do than just the most narrow definition of adultery, but by extension, all the forms of immoral sexual expression. And so those things have to come into our thinking today. So let's talk first, though, about sex / gender. I say that because sex can be used with referring to the act of sex, but it can refer to one's biological sex, whether you're male or female. I'm talking about that part right now, whether you're male or female. So let's talk about male, female, sex / gender. What's the woke thinking have to say about that topic? Anyone?
No one is binary.
No one's binary, yes. I'm a computer programmer when I'm not a pastor. And computers, they think in one or the other. And binary, right? Ones and zeros. And that's how computers work. And Marlon, he does the electrical side of it, so he can actually tell you how that actually relates to electric stuff. I don't know that. I just know programming, and it's ones or zeros. And true and false. And in the woke thinking, it's not just male or female. That's Mary's very accurate summary. And I think what they try to do is they try to distinguish on the one hand, they try to say your biological sex is different than your gender. And they try to make a distinction there. That your biological sex refers to, you know, things like your body parts and your DNA and all that, but your gender is how you identify. And so sometimes they'll describe then the gender assigned to you at birth versus the gender of how you later identify yourself. And of course, the gender that you get assigned at birth is, as Mary pointed out, they only have two checkboxes, right? Male or female. But in this woke way of thinking, they want to have a whole bunch of different boxes. So one of the things I've been doing in our lessons is giving you some of their terminology so that when they use some of their terminology, you're not like confused at what they're talking about. So cisgender, you guys heard that term before? Cisgender, C-I-S? Cisgender. Cisgender is the fancy word to say you are thinking about this thing the way that people have traditionally thought about these things, male and female. And let me back up. I want to say that this whole notion of your biological sex versus your later gender identification is inherently flawed, just to make sure that you understand what I'm saying, right? One's biological sex should have an impact on how you understand who you are and present yourself to the world. And I don't want to make some sort of distinction there that they would want to make. And so cisgender, though, again, from their language, cisgender is you identify in your gender as the biological sex that you were born. In other words, that's what you should do. Right, cisgender is the right view, and I know I'm getting into assessing already. Transgender, then you've probably heard of that term before. So transgender would essentially be the opposite of that. You were born, your biological sex that you were born, say male, but you want to identify as female later on, so you transgender from male to female. That's transgender. Now, again, if I would just stop there, that still sounds very binary. So they have a whole other category called various names, genderqueer, non-binary, several other little labels as well. Basically, anything that they want to identify themselves outside of the norm, meaning outside of either traditionally understood as male or female, something in between, or altogether different. And that's why there's a lot of different labels that they might use under that sort of third category. So again, as Mary's point, then it's not just about one thing or the other thing in this woke way of thinking. Now, inherently, I'm sorry if I sound at all uncharitable to some of these viewpoints, meaning a lot of people really struggle with stuff with regard to their identity, accepting whether they're male or female. I don't want to sound unsympathetic or unmerciful to people who are struggling with these things. I think in the past, if you looked up in some medical textbooks, people who struggled with these things would be listed as gender dysphoria. It would be considered a medical condition, and people would look to help them to accept the way God made them. And now, instead of that, the world is saying we need to embrace this idea of what they think that they are. And so I apologize if I'm thinking as well, being recorded on the internet, if anyone somehow thinks that this is being harsh in my presentation, I do actually want to emphasize a lot of mercy and concern for folks who are struggling on these things. But if our description so far of biological sex versus gender and cisgender, transgender, genderqueer, if the woke way of thinking, describing these things sounds against common sense, I think you're understanding my concern here. I think it is against common sense. I think it is against, frankly, rational thinking. If you hear some of the arguments, you heard a lot recently, last few years. You gotta follow the science, right? I think if you follow the science, it's male and female. You're born male or female. But you will talk to folks on this subject, and they will try to convince you, even with science-y arguments, how it's actually not as simple as that. And I'm sorry, I've heard those arguments. I'm not at all convinced. I think that they're being very fast and loose with a lot of facts and data that they're sort of spinning. There is something called intersex, I-N-T-E-R-S-E-X, which is a medical category of people who have some sort of disorder in terms of their sexual development. In some rare cases, people have been born with two different types of genitalia, stuff like that. There have been people genetically male, but have issues where parts don't appear when they normally do. So there are situations where there are There are situations where it's not easy to tell, maybe at birth in some circumstances, what the person gender is. I want to make sure we understand, when we're talking this transgenderism stuff, people will point to that, but that's not really what anyone's really talking about. In other words, these very rare category of intersex, where it's frankly genetic anomalies, right? Kind of like we have other genetic anomalies, like sometimes people are born with an extra finger, or sometimes people are born with Down syndrome, or a whole bunch of other genetic abnormalities. These are things that this side of the fall, there are ways that even our human bodies have been affected. And so there are these categories. And in fact, when you're talking about this topic of transgenderism, that's not what anyone's really talking about. They're talking about people who don't have that condition, that are male or are female and want to identify as something that they're not. As an example of one of the ways in which misinformation is given, so you go on to Google, you know, things change all the time. So when I went on a week ago, I asked prevalence of intersex, the actual just, you know, genetic conditions that make some ambiguity to understand what someone's going to, you know, that sort of rare medical condition. And you know, Google sometimes will give you an answer for your question, and it'll stick it at the top, and then the search results are below. And you know, you ask what's the weather in Petaluma, and it'll come up with an answer for you, right? And most of those things are actually just grabbing information that's on the web and sticking it as what they claim to be as the answer. So I put that prevalence of intersex, and it was 1.7%. Well, if you scroll down just a little bit further, there was one of the first results was a NIH, national government, NIH medical journal article that was saying that this 1.7% number claimed by this activist group was not at all in keeping with the science, and actually the number was drastically smaller, like 0.018%. So drastically number. And to clarify, in those cases of that super small number, in many cases, if not most of the cases, it's still not like unclear what sex they are. It's like, okay, there's some degree of abnormality here, but that doesn't mean that it's like, I'm not sure if this is a male or a female. So this whole scientific claim of genetic, or that there's ambiguity, is really a lot of smoke compared to actually just the real topic being discussed here, is folks who do not want to identify with the way God made them. And so I think we have to get past the smoke to be able to talk about the real issues here. Probably spoke too quickly and said something that may have been confusing or whatnot, or maybe I may even misspoke. Is there any clarifications, questions? I want to make sure everyone's tracking where we're going here. Okay, so turn over to Genesis 1 for me. Genesis 1. Kim, would you read 27 and 28?
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
So God made humans, and he made us of two sorts, male and female. And even though, like I said, there's the very rare genetic disorder that sometimes outwardly causes some confusion, extremely rare, and even then, they're still either male or female, even if you have to do look at their DNA to really have a little bit more insight. Male and female. It's pretty basic stuff here. Turn over to the next chapter, Genesis 2:20. Marlon, would you read Genesis 2:20 to 25? Yes, please.
The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
It is interesting, the notion of male and female, man and woman, right? That's language, right? At the end of the day, we could have called male oolahs and women wawawas, but those are the labels that got used, right? And I know there's a different language, but language is helpful, right? And we are what we are, and God made male and female to complement each other, such that if there was only male, A, we would not be able to fulfill the mandate to go and fill the earth, right? But we'd be less well off because of it, right? There's something about male and female that complement each other and are there to be of help to one another, in addition to even producing offspring. And we call the one thing one thing, we call the other thing another thing. And it is binary. It is what it is. Turn over to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Renee, would you read Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, please?
A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord our God, your God.
Now, you know, in our world, we're really good at making more and more words to make very specific definitions for very specific things, which, of course, is the irony here. This would be, you know, maybe most specifically described as a prohibition against transvestism, you know, cross-dressing in more colloquial terminology. But I can't help but make an application to, more broadly speaking, transgenderism, right? There's this idea males should present themselves as males, females should present themselves as females. And I can't imagine how it could be good for society to somehow present yourself contrary to what you actually are. And I think a verse like this speaks to that concern. Now, I want to clarify something here. Sometimes I've heard people, when I have these conversations, say like something like, they need to accept that they are less. They have a sex change operation. Sex change operations, I'm not a doctor, but as far as I understand, sex change operations do not actually change your sex. I just want to make sure you understand that. If you chop off your genitals and have plastic surgery to make it look something other than what it is, you are still what you were born. If you take hormone treatments so that a female starts exhibiting more male features in their body because they pumped in testosterone when their body shouldn't normally have testosterone, or vice versa, that doesn't actually change what you are. Your DNA is still male or female, and what it does do is it abuses your body. It abuses your body, and God would have us certainly, surely, to care for our bodies and not to do harm to them. And so I have two topics I want to talk about today. So I'm going to wrap this one up pretty quickly here. What's my point on this whole transgenderism topic? This is something that we have to discriminate on. We're talking about discrimination. Now, when I say that, that does not mean that when someone comes in who is dealing with this sin, that we treat them like subhuman, like they've got the plague, and be mean and unkind to them. But we should speak the truth in love. We should, frankly, have great pity and concern for why they're struggling the way that they're struggling. And I think that part of that will play into how the person presents themselves as well. What I mean by that is some folks, in any kind of sin, right, say, this is what I've chosen to do, and forget God, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, versus, you know, I'm just really struggling with my life, and I think that, you know, have this trouble in my heart, and, you know, someone who's, you know, really confused and hurting and struggling, not knowing what's going on, versus someone who's sort of just defiantly, I know what God says, and I just hate God anyways, and we may have a different way in which we interact with somebody like that, but there's a way that we can discriminate in the sense of saying, yeah, transgenderism is a sinful denial of who God made you to be. And one ought to embrace and accept what you actually are. It's living in truth versus living a lie. And so that doesn't have to mean, as the world says, that you're bigoted. And it's really getting old having the world say, because we hold our, we believe God would have us to say about these topics, that makes us bigoted. Right? That's, now one could be bigoted on these topics, and I'm telling you, don't go out just being a hate monger and unkind and uncharitable to people, because we're all sinners, and we've all had things that we've had to deal with by the grace of God, and we're still got things we're dealing with by the grace of God. So we don't want to come off in that way, but we still have to be able to say what's right, what's wrong, what's one and what's zero, what's male, what's female, those sorts of things. Questions?
Jeff, you're speaking about discrimination. In what setting are you? You're certainly talking about the church. In any other settings that you're talking about, say you're an employer, should you discriminate in that
setting? Thank you. Excellent question. Again, what does it mean to discriminate? Right. So it's you have to be more nuanced, right? Like, I don't think if you run a coffee shop that you should say only people who think properly on this subject can I hire. I'm not saying that you should make an employment policy where you discriminate against someone on that regard. I think from a church membership standpoint, sure, we would say someone needs to be, you know, repenting of their sins. If someone came to us who was a female and wanting to hold themselves out as male or vice versa, we would have to call them to turn from that and live a life of repentance if they want to be a member of the church. They could always come and sit in here and hear the gospel like we want all visitors to come. But if they're actually going to be a member and in fellowship, then they need to be repenting of their sins, just like all of us need to be repenting of our sins. So I think there are a lot of, you know, extended applications that you would want to touch on each one of them, right? Like the question of employment is one thing. It might be a different question, like if you're like the stereotypical baker, you know, who's asked to bake for a homosexual wedding, right? That's now an artistic expression that they're being asked to violate their conscience and what they believe to be right, and they might decline to do that. And I think they would be okay to decline to do that, and that would be a discrimination, right? So these are, you know, when it goes to theory to application, I think we have to take each one, and I don't think that we should have a situation where everybody is completely cut off from society if they don't have all their sins dealt with. Did I answer your question there at all?
Well, yes.
Okay, good. Good question. Gene?
Oh, when you're talking, I'm thinking of love for the others. Because if you read Rosario Butterfield's book,
yeah,
and how it was love that drew her out of her homosexuality and out of that into becoming a loving wife and mother of a pastor.
Yeah, there's sort of two ways that you could approach a sin, right? You could say, you're wrong for doing that, or you can say, look how much better God's way is. And both of those things have a truth to them, and both of those have a time and a place to speak to that. And putting things more positively and presenting God's vision for the way life is best in a loving, kind way tends to be very fruitful. So, yeah. I feel like I may have been very brief in a very complex subject. So again, if anyone's listening to this on the internet and feels like I've oversimplified it, please reach out to me. Call me at 415-897-3410. Happy to talk more. Renee.
That's God. That's how God communicates, in a sense, to us, is just binary. Simplicity, in a sense. Not that the word God is simplistic, but in the most easiest way that we can understand, because his ways are much higher than ours. But you know, he realizes that we need that kind of basic teaching.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is pretty cut and dry. There's certainly lots of beautiful complexities too, but in a lot of matters, including this, it is a one or the other type of thing. The other topic on this, before I get into sexual orientation, homosexuality, heterosexuality, that type of stuff, before I get into there, the other part that I'll probably super short shift here, but is men and women. Okay, now putting aside transgenderism, you got men and women, right? And there have been a lot of discrimination against historically women in many cases, right? And that is some of the woke concerns that get brought up as well. And while I said a moment ago, you know, not everything woke agrees with, or not every every concern of discrimination we can agree with, some we can, some we can't, with regard to women, right? We ought not to discriminate against women because they're women. Now, as soon as I say that, of course, biblically, we do see in Scripture various what might be considered more traditional roles for men and women. And as soon as we start talking along those lines, oftentimes the woke side of it thinks we're saying chauvinism, as in men are better. That's not right. So I want to affirm biblically that neither chauvinism or feminism is the right response. That God made us male and female, men and women. We are equal in terms of our humanity. We are, you know, it's not like, I remember at times women have been treated as sort of just above farm animals, is the acronym that they talk about in history class. And no, women and men are humans, created in the image of God. And that equality is foundational. Now, the Bible does teach that in a marriage, husband and wife, that the husband is to be the leader of the home and to lead in a loving, servant-like, Christ-like leadership. We'll talk a little bit about servant leadership in our sermon today. Women are called, wives are called to submit in the Lord. Now, submit in the Lord means not submit absolutely. Meaning if your husband says, tomorrow we're robbing a bank. No. Can't do that. In the church, the Bible talks of having the ordained officers be exclusive to not just men, but worthy men, meaning men who meet certain qualifications. And that is seen by the world as discrimination. So, again, using discrimination in a broad sense, okay. There's a way in which we discriminate, in a sense, between men and women, but hopefully not in the category of sinful discrimination. And that's maybe the way to be thinking about some of this stuff. There is appropriate discrimination and sinful discrimination, right? If I give you the coffee I roasted and the Maxwell, you're supposed to tell me, Pastor, the coffee you roasted is the best. See, that's righteous discrimination, see? He's implying, like, there are discriminating things that we do. We remember in our first lesson on this, we said discrimination is about making choices and distinctions between things. And so, yes, the Bible speaks of these different roles for men and women in different circumstances. And I'm going to just reference a few of those right now. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3:7 here. First Peter 3:7. Jeff, why don't you read that for us?
Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
If you scan through the first six verses of this chapter, it's a reference to women submitting to their husbands. But I wanted to read the final verse for sake of time here to emphasize. Too often when people have heard us talking about this, they think that we're being discriminatory in a sinful way against women, treating them in a degraded fashion, in a subhuman fashion. That is not what the Bible teaches. Have there been people who've done that? Even people who would call the name of Christ? Surely. In all these abuses, the reason we're talking about them is because there have been these sinful discriminations. But I'm here to tell you not to advocate for past sinful discriminations or whatnot. I'm here to teach us what does God's Word say about these things. And God's Word is the first one to say, men, husbands, get your act together. Love your wife in a very considerate way. And I think this reference to her being the weaker vessels, I'm going to win against Kim on an arm wrestle every single time. You know, and that's a stereotype, right? There are some women who are super strong and some men who aren't. But generally speaking, males are stronger than females. And if you are a husband who's using your physical strength to sinfully domineer your wife, stop it. Repent of that. That's sinful. And the unity aspect, besides of what I've already said, that we're both created in the image of God, here another argument is given that we are both able to be saved in Christ Jesus. And that is a unity that needs to be embraced and expressed. So, similarly, turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3:19, and actually 3:18 and 19. Sabine, why don't you read Colossians 3:18 and 19?
Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them.
Is my son somewhere right here? Has he been in there a while?
No, he's
not there. Okay. So I just, you know, didn't see him, and I was like, has he been here the whole time? Okay. Sorry. yeah, your dad should get worried about your kids. Colossians 3:18 through 19 speaks to both sides again, right? As is fitting in the Lord is a reminder that the submission to a wife to her husband is still qualified, right? It's not saying this sort of husband is an absolute authoritarian dictator in the house. There are limits to godly submission. But husbands, you need to love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. This is the, you know, very short little summaries of bigger principles here. Is the Bible has no place for either feminism or chauvinism. That we need to throw away some of those historical abuses and get back to what the Bible would have us to say. And so, sort of summarizing what we're talking about here is when the woke world speaks to this topic, of the relationship of men and women. We would have a lot of agreement, but we'd also have some disagreement in terms of what does it mean to not sinfully discriminate, but also what some righteous, if I can use the word righteous discrimination, meaning we do see some things to note and distinguish that they wouldn't. And so again, this is just kind of reflecting, the world says one thing, what does God's word have to say about these sorts of things? I would point out, but we won't turn there right now, but 1 Timothy 2:12 through 15 speaks about this and goes on in the next chapter there about officers in the church and male leadership within the church. The Bible does teach male headship in the church, and certainly we have to be on guard again there, that we're not in any capacity trying to demean women as they are children of God, just like us. They're saved in Christ, just like us. And so, yes, questions on that topic. I know, again, I super dealt with a big topic in a half a Sunday school lesson. I wanted to keep a certain pace as we went through this material because it'd be easy to just spend so much time on this subject. And I've already failed because I meant to get into like issues of homosexuality, heterosexuality today, and I'm looking at the time, and I'm not going to be able to do that, so that'll spill into next time. And then I had intended today, and then one more on the topic of discrimination, and then get into some other topics beyond simply discrimination in this Wake, Be Awake, Not Woke series. But discrimination was a big aspect of this woke thinking, so I thought it'd be important to spend some time on the discrimination part of it. Any questions on the male versus female discrimination stuff? So next time we'll get into issues of like I said, the world's way of talking about is sexual orientation, which is, you know, one way of thinking about it, but you know, we'll think particularly about sexual conduct as well, what the Bible has to say about that. And then in some of our remaining aspects of discrimination, I'm going to have us talk briefly about age discrimination, talk about disabilities and discrimination that's often associated with that. Going to talk about religious discriminations. And guess what? Yeah, we need to discriminate in terms of religion. So you'll see where we're headed. And again, that'll close out the discrimination topic, and then we'll have a few other topics on this Be Awake, Not Woke series, things like abuse, reports of abuse, how to handle reports of abuse, biblical conflict resolution, reconciliation, some of those topics, I think, are real important for our time today. Any other questions for today? Yeah, Renee.
You know, the reality, of course, you are preaching to the choir, and understanding that is that the fault comes, of course, with not being in Christ, not being understanding our sinful nature. And so the society has been wanting to put one sex above the other, one man above the other, or, you know, that you're better than, you don't need a husband, you don't need a man. That kind of mentality just literally goes against all what Scripture teaches. So, you know, it's natural to see that coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the applications in, we'll go back to, and what you were saying, go back to Jeff's question about how does this work itself out in the world. You know, part of what I said is I don't want us to get into politics, right? And so there are some of these topics that some of the things do touch on politics. What I mean is, for example, right now in California public schools, if someone is transgender, they can now use the bathroom of the gender they identify with, right? And so, you know, those are some topics in the public sphere that you'll need to use, you know, some of our biblical worldview to think about how you'll speak to those issues. And I don't want to tell you from here, vote for this proposition, vote for that person. But I am going to talk to the principles, and then, you know, Christians in your conscience can figure out how to apply that in cases like politics. But again, that's an example then of in the workplace, or and this organization I'm a part of, or, you know, how do I handle that these people want me to use these particular pronouns? You know, these are some things that maybe good Christians could differ on how to show respect or hold to their principles. There might be some differences in how some of those things work themselves out. But foundationally, if we start with these principles of male and female, we're arming ourselves, as Renee points out, then, in many ways, hopefully, speaking to the choir, right? And even if everything you've been hearing is like, yeah, that's what I already believed, now hopefully we're more equipped to be able to have conversations with folks out there. And again, I urge you to do so charitably with people, which is another way of saying what Gene said, in love and kindness. I think that tends to be better received than if you're just offensive in how you speak about some of these things, unnecessarily offensive. There's going to be stuff that we say that will offend them, right? Like if they say I'm cis or queer gender, and you say as politely as possible, actually you're not, you're this or that. You know, you have those conversations, right? There's going to be some offense, right? But you can do it in a way that's loving and kind. That's my hope. We're out of time. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you very much for a chance to be thinking in-house of some of these issues. We pray, Lord, that we would have wisdom, love, kindness, and speak the truth in love, Lord, to our world today that's in so many ways, in some cases, struggling with these issues, and others in open defiance. But, Lord, we pray for wisdom to know how to interact with this world. We pray this in Jesus' name.